Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka. This morning, joining me in the studio, I'm very honored to have with me Richard and Nora Downhauer, cultural anthropologist visiting Sitka from Juneau. Good morning to you both. And also, Jerry Hope is here. Jerry is... Jerry, do you have a formal title with the Klan Conference?
That, I do, executive director.
Jerry Hope is the executive director of the 2012 Klan Conference. Sharing our knowledge is what it's called on the web. But I guess the conference has a theme and a Tlingit name that Nora. Okay, which translates to
what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. And but was written Haitikayis.
Yeah. The thank you, Nora. The main purpose of that theme was probably double-fold at minimum. Most people are familiar with the Alaska Native Brotherhood and that it's going to be celebrating its 100th year this year here in Sitka at the convention in October. And in the 1929 Grand Camp Convention in Haines, the initiation of the Alaska Native Land Claims lawsuit was initiated. And at that time, and probably from that time to through now even, a common phrase, especially by the elders, was that this is not for me, this is for our grandchildren. Recognizing probably that it was going to be a long battle and that the they needed to go through the battle and that the fruits of their labor would be born for people after them, their grandchildren. And I was talking to a couple of elders, a number of elders actually, and another phrase that was not really emphasized was for those who are not yet born yet. We want to do this for those who are not yet born. So it's taking it further into the future. And so in our own way, perhaps indirectly, we're giving a nod to the Alaska Native Brotherhood 100 year by carrying on a phrase that elders had spoken about, and it goes beyond for our grandchildren, it is for those who are not yet born. So thank you, Nora, for the proper Tlingit pronunciation. And so we're just really happy to give a nod to the ANB 100 year.
Right, and more than a nod, I think two sessions will be devoted to ANB history at the conference.
Yeah, there'll be two sessions with ANB history, but there's going to be more emphasis beyond those two sessions that mm-hmm. will give full recognition and respect to the ANB and its efforts over the years. A film will be highlighted. That's been highlighted before around Alaska. Dick, you remember some of the films besides?
Well, there's the one on the land struggle. There's also the one on Elizabeth Paratrovich. Mm-hmm. That will be both of those will be aired. There'll be the new film on Smoke and Fish. That's kind of a funny one that'll be aired also. There's also a session on the ANS, not to forget the backbone of the Brotherhood, but there'll be a session and panel on that, too.
Right. I see the Paratrovich legacy will be discussed 3:30 to 5 p.m. tomorrow at the Sheetkakwan Nakahiti. The film will be screened for the rights of all, mm-hmm. ending Jim Crow in Alaska. Jerry, I think we should mention sooner rather than later that this agenda is just, it's packed with, so many things you can do. And I want to mention that you can go online and look at this. The website, the web address is ankn.uaf.edu, and then just follow the links to the Klan Conference. That's what I did.
Yeah, that's the simplest.
Yeah, and it's a very well organized website, but we can only just sort of begin to scratch the surface here.
We're also accessible by FB. For those who are in the know, that's a quick talk for Facebook.
Sure.
And so it would be www.facebook.com. And then it's a /events/, and then there's some numbers behind that. But most people probably who are listening have friends that are linked into the Facebook access.
Okay. So the conference is going to be Thursday, starts tomorrow.
Correct.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and goes on into Sunday.
Yes.
And you can look at all the details either on Facebook or at the UAF website that we mentioned. And I think there's a daily cost associated with people.
$25.
Okay.
$10 if you're an adult or youth disabled.
Right. Okay. So, and you can buy admission at the door?
Correct. Okay. And it's, if you want to do the whole 4 days, you save a little bit of money at $75.
All right. And most of this is happening at Harrigan Centennial Hall.
Correct. With,
it looks like, the film screenings at the community house. Nora and Richard Downhauer, you are here as panelists. And I think, Nora, your clarification of the transcription of the theme of the conference illustrates the fact of why the conference is being held. That the knowledge that's being discussed here, it's fluid. People are changing. I mean, there's a new generation coming in, and is this conference, do you see it as about transmission of knowledge?
We're trying to get the people excited about their culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. And we hope we do, especially the young adults, young people who are Tlingit. I think there is Haida and...
Not as much as in the past client conferences, and as much as we might hope in the future, but they're certainly there. There is a one presentation on Haida art and the Heidelberg culture camp that'll be coming in.
I wanted to just hijack some language off the website. If I may, it's this.
You have our permission.
the conference involves artists, academics, students, tradition bearers, elders, fluent speakers, discussing linguistics, archaeology, art and music, Alaska Native history, museum studies, indigenous language, fisheries, ecology. I mean, when you start to think about the world of clan culture, anthropology, clan life, it's amazing the scope of the subjects that you can bring in.
Well, that's what I think makes this conference very exciting. And we have a lot of colleagues who are academics, and they're much more excited about coming to this conference, say, than going to the AAA or the MLA or some of the, you know, where you go to MLA and there's, you know, 5,000 people there on Christmas weekend. It's because of that mixture that people who are teachers and writers can meet with tradition bearers. The clan leaders, the tradition bearers have a stage to present from their point of view. So it's not being seen through outside eyes, so to speak. And then all of the topics. And we have some workshops on local archaeology, where archaeologists have been working with community people. Then there's things on food, nutrition, fisheries, forestry, and all of that. We'll be doing one on language and curriculum. So there's some linguistics one day. Every day in the afternoon, the Gold Belt Heritage people are field testing the units that for teaching language that they've been developing for the last couple of years. So it's really exciting. A lot of different things. The Smithsonian is sending some people here. They'll be doing some very exciting things on how to digitize artifacts. So if you have a hat, for example, you can digitize it, and that can be available online in essentially electronic reproduction, so that you don't have to be constantly handling these things with the white gloves.
Right.
That's exciting.
It's as I mentioned, the scope of this is just, it's incredible. And you mentioned, Richard, this idea of connecting with tradition bearers. I understand you and Nora are I think you've probably already published the definitive work on Sitka, and the battle that took place here, Russians and Tlingit America, but you're working on a new project. And is this an opportunity to kind of connect with resources that help move your work forward?
Partly.
Yeah. Here being at Raven Radio, our next book is on Raven, in fact, and it's one we've been working on for over almost 40 years. And we first tried, we thought we'd do Raven Stories as our first book, and when we did this field tested it 40 years ago with some stories, nobody laughed, and we realized that people were sort of embarrassed about, is it called politically correct to laugh at a Tlingit story? Well, if it's comedy, it is. And then also the whole problem of humor doesn't always go across cultures the way tragedy does. So everybody understands grief and death and dying. And so we started at the other end with the clan stories, which are usually high tragedy, the oratory speeches for the removal of grief. And we worked into biographies, and we worked into the history, again, with the battles of Sitka and the Russians in Tlingit America. And now we're back to Raven, and we, in some respects, it'll be easier because we don't have any baby pictures of Raven, and we don't have to worry about his biography. But the stories are just wonderful, and we'll be talking about that Sunday morning if people want more.
The entire
details.
Book will be his biography.
40 years. You better get this out, or you're going to have to give the advance back.
This is right. Yeah. We wish there were an advance.
All right. Jerry, we're just about out of time, but is the Klan conference just sort of a 8:30 to 5 kind of thing, or are there things going on into the evening that people ought to be aware of?
Yeah, there definitely is things going on in the evening. We're really happy this year to get back the Raven Moiety Night and the Wolf/Eagle Moiety Night. And so when they go to register, or they go to the Centennial Hall, they'll be able to identify just exactly what evening events that they would like to do. I believe we're going to have some poetry reading too, Dick.
Well, we're definitely going to read a few Martin Strand out of his new book, and we'll do that as a warm up at the banquet. And I don't know if we're going to have a big poetry evening like we had in one of the previous conferences, but
a couple of things too. We're doing a warming of the hands. It's kind of a transition between the Heritage Cultural Tourism Conference that's going on now. It's concluding today, and then ours is beginning tomorrow. They wanted to do a transition. They wanted those who are doing tourism and culture to be somewhat linked into the Klan conference, and the Klan leaders will do a warming of the hands this afternoon at 1:30 at Centennial Hall. That's open to the public too. But I wanted to give a quick nod to my brother Andy. Andrew John Hope III is his formal name, but we always knew him as Andy. It was his vision, along with his discussions with people like Dick and Nora years ago, that got this started. His first one was 1993. And so we're humbly carrying on and proudly carrying on that effort to get the tradition bearers and those who are in the Western education system linked together to try and carry forward something. And hopefully there'll be some really good information that could be put into the mainstream education systems. We're happy that Juno Douglas School is going to be here. Their school district is going to be represented with students and educators, Sitka School District, and we hope Monashcombe High School. So we'll be able to get some kind of really good print information that could be used in their education systems.
All right. Well, it's an amazing week in Sitka between the two big conferences.
And herring.
And herring to boot. The gulls are circling the building.
We're looking forward to the spawn ourselves. Yeah. We're hungry.
It will be, it all...
The ravens are hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. The all Clan right. Conference starts tomorrow. 8:30 a.m. Is the opening plenary session with presentations from Clan leaders and some keynote speaking. Again, the full agenda is available online at anknuaf.edu, and I'll post this address online in just a little while, along with this entire interview. And everyone's welcome at the Clan Conference.
Absolutely.
And it'll be going on through Sunday. Jerry Hope is Executive Director of the Sharing Our Knowledge Clan Conference, which is happening in Sitka this week. And Richard and Nora Downhauer are cultural anthropologists and authors visiting from Juneau, among the what seems like must be dozens of visiting experts who will be presenting at this conference.
We're expecting around 400.
All right. Thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you.